The Torah presents in the beginning of Parshas Metzora, this week's Parshas HaShavua. You have it in front of you on page number one. We'll read the psukim. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor. Zos tiyeh Torah HaMetzora b'yom tohorosa. The Torah essentially outlines, demarcates for us the procedure for a Metzora to once again return and become part and parcel of Klal Yisrael, the Torah of the Mitzvah, the Huvar al Kohen. This we know from last week's Pasha as well. The Kohen is the one who's Kobeya. The Kohen is the one who establishes Shikach. The Kohen is the one who establishes whether the Nega is Tohar or Tameh. And the Torah has spent enormous amount of time speaking about the role of the Kohen. The Torah continues in the second and third psukim. The nega was cured. There's a well-known medrash. Rashi cites the medrash. Generally speaking, the Gemara says in Erchin, and we know that the Goyim in general is a list, a litany of items that the Goyim come as a result of these kinds of activities. One of them is Lashon Hara. So that's what the Sukkim speak about. Shtei Tziporim Chayos Tahoros, Ve'etz Erez Ushni Solas Ve'ezo. And then the Torah goes on to describe what exactly one is supposed to do with these Shtei Tziporim and the Dinam of Hazor, of sprinkling that occurs well. And the mitaher, the person who is in the process of becoming tor, is obligated legalechet kol se'aro, and also he has to go to the mikveh, b'chul b'chul. So now the underlying psukim began. I'm just reading the underlying psukim. V'ayom hashmini yikach shnei chvasim tmimim v'chavso achas b'shnoso tmimo. These are the karbanos that he's going to have to bring. And the kohen is makriv them, and you'll notice that the first karban that I boxed in, or boxed out, passing good days is the Osher. V'eslog Hashomen. V'enif oisom tenufa l'vnei Hashem. And then the Torah describes, again, what the Kohen has to do. And the Torah tells us as well, this is fascinating in and of itself, what's the distinction between a Chatas and an Osher? That needs a clarification. It's not the function of this year. But the Ramban already is omen on this. Because Asham also comes as a result of Chatoyim. We say in the morning in the Karbanos, there are different types of Ashamos, Asham Zelos, Asham Meilos, Asham Shil Charufa, Asham Toli, Asham Mitzora. Here we're talking about the Asham Mitzora, the one that the Karban associated with the Taras HaMitzora. The Torah continues in Pasuk, Yudgim Yudaliki Kachatos, Asham Hu, Lakoein, Kodesh Kadashim Hu. And then we have again the Kohen taking the Dam HaAsham, and it's being placed on the lobe of the ear of the mitaher, and the Torah continues. If you read the psukim, yitches and yitches, ba'anosar b'shem asher akaf hakohen yitem arosh mitaher v'chiper olav hakohen lifnei Hashem. Just be cognizant of that pasuk, that the kohen effects a kapara v'chiper olav hakohen lifnei Hashem. Continues the Torah in yitches, v'yasar hakohen esachatos. We had the Hashem, we have the Chatos, v'chiper ala mitaher mitumaso. Right away, notice that this language differs from the language that was used previously. In the previous pasuk, there the Torah mentions, again, in the context of the Karban, v'chiper alav hakohen l'vnei Hashem. Here the Torah uses the language, v'chiper ala mitaher mitumaso. Whenever the Torah alters language, one has to be very sensitive to that alteration. One has to be very sensitive to the language of the Torah. And then the Torah goes on, V'achar yishchat esoilo, V'helo hakoin esoilo v'samicha v'sbecha v'chiper olov hakoin v'toher. This is a third expression. Seemingly, with each of the karbanos, a different expression is being used. In the case, initially, v'chiper olov hakoin v'tnei Hashem. In the context of the chatos, v'chiper olov v'toher mitumasa. In the context of the olov, v'chiper olov hakoin v'toher. So right away, that itself is ma'orer, a question. Why does the Torah change? Why does it alter the language that it uses to each of the Kabbalos? And that's what we're going to attempt to discuss in light of what I heard from one of my rabbeim, Hagaon Rav Tzvi Kanatovsky, as a Tzaddik Debrocha, many, many years ago. He made a suggestion that I think is right on the mark, and we'll see if this suggestion can be actually concretized in the language of a Rambam. So the general subject of Metzora is a highly technical one, the very complex one, and we're concerned with the purification of the Metzora, the Taras HaMetzora, as the Torah began, Taras HaMetzora, Biyom Torah Rosso. There are three Karbanos that we just noticed. One is the Asham, and in general, Asham comes as a result of a Chet, as a result of a transgression. The second carbon is the chatas. Again, chatas is a carbon that follows a transgression. Generally, a chatas, kayadua, is something where a person does something b'shogeg. So if you do a b'shogeg, you become a chatas. If you have to do a b'mezid, you become a karis. That's generally what a chatas has. The parameters of a chatas are b'shogeg, that the chatas is brought, b'mezid, you become a karis. The third carbon is the ola, which is not associated with any specific chet. If you show them, talk about Hiruhuri Avera, which Ram brings an Ola, but we have three Karbanos. And now the question is, why? What is the necessity for three Karbanos? And more specifically, what I referred to a moment ago, the threefold Kapara that's mentioned in the text. And look again, the Pesukim, just to get a handle on it, the first time, the Chippa Olam HaKohen Lefnei Hashem, that the Kohen effects some sort of atonement before Hashem. The second carbon, the Torah speaks about the chatas v'chipel amitayim itumaso. He affects atonement for him, for the person who is purifying himself. And finally, the Torah says, in the context of the Oda, v'chipel olav hakohen b'tzar. So we have to find some explanation for why the Torah utilizes three different types of language for each of these carbonos. Now the Ramban, right here, notes that the Asham is an atonement for the original Avera of Lashon Hara. And Chazal tell us that Tzaras, one of the major consequences of Tzaras, is again, because of Lashon Hara, that's where Tzaras comes from. And then we have beyond the Karban Asher, which is directly related to the Ma'is Avera of Lashon Hara, then we have the Karban Chatas, which again is the possibility of a new transgression. One new transgression, we'll see in a moment, some form of verbal reaction or response on the part of the Metzora to his suffering. The Metzora, as you know, has to go b'chutz ha-machaneh moshavo. He said, chutz b'sholosh machanos. He has to leave all three machanos, namely, machaneh shechina, machaneh levia, machaneh Yisrael. So that's a very harsh punishment. And as I said, we're assuming that as a result of his isolation, that affected him to the degree that he speaks out against Hashem. Perhaps he even questions the nature of the justice over here. And now we have the third karma, which is the Ola, which is not intended to atone for any specific Avera. We want him to return to his home and normal life. So you'll take a look at the Netziv in the Perish Al-Torah, the Hamek Dabar, where he deals with this issue, the three karbanos. More or less, he follows the Ramban, with the exception of one point. He has a different understanding of the Karban Ola. In general, the Ola, the Netziv writes, is always intended as a kapara for a transgression associated with Hiruhure Chet, with the thought process, the precursor of action or speech. And we say, actually, in the Chodoni on Friday night, Sof Maaseh, Machshava Tchila. First, we have the Machshava. And then the Mashav is either verbalized or actually carried out, executed, implemented, and the Ola comes to atone for that transgression.
For the Mashav of intent, because it's amazing.
Yeah. So I will attempt to show you, if it's Hashem Shodi, with the nature of the language we're going to see in the Rambam, an analysis of this, of these tripartite elements that I found over here. So again, I want to just stress, the first time the Torah says, V'chiper olav v'fnei Hashem. The second time, v'chiper olav, the Torah, in the second expression that it uses, there it speaks about v'chiper al amitayim mitumasa. The one who's becoming tahor, we have to somehow effect kapara for him. And finally, v'chiper olav akoyim mitor. Three different expressions that indicate that somehow there are three different kind of methodologies that are operating over here. That's what we have to try to figure out exactly what the nature of these three methodologies. So I want to now read a Rambam on page number 2. The Rambam is a famous Rambam, the end of the Tumas Saras. Often the Rambam, by the way, at the end of a set of halachas, he presents an overall comprehensive mussar relating to the specific area that the Rambam actually is as detailed in the halacha. So here at the end of Tumas Saras, the Rambam is going to issue a statement regarding the backdrop for Tzaras, where exactly it's coming from, what caused it, means in effect, when the Torah uses three different expressions, it clearly the Torah is trying to denote that there are three apparently different elements involved in the transgression, and each of these three requires a separate kind of kapara, separate karbon, and the Torah somehow reflects that by utilizing different language for each of the karbonos. But I want to start with the Rambam. And this is a Rambam that's very, very, really magnificent Rambam. I'll start with the, if you look in the middle of the page, on top you have the Ramban, and below that you have the Sorno. So let's read the Rambam in the middle. Rambam says in Halacha Yud, in Perek Tezayin, Hilz Tumah Saras Halacha Yud, HaTzaras Hu Shem HaOmer B'Shutfus. Saras is a generic term. Kolil and Yonim Harbe. Rambam says it encompasses many different things. Shavilobin or Adam covering Tzaras. So the Fila Saseh Harosh or some current Tzaras. There are different types of particular Negoyim that Tzaras is associated with. Mishinu ain't Abgon Babatu current Tzaras. The Torah speaks about Tzaras that affects clothing, that affects Begodim, that affects Batim, the houses, and ultimately affects the individual himself. Those are all called Tzaras. These are generic terms. Mishinu Homer Begon Batum Shekras Torah Tzaras. Ram points out this is unnatural. This is a supernatural, metaphysical, clearly phenomena that's not in sync with nature. And the Ram goes on to describe, oh, supela haya b'Yisrael. This was a divine act of incredible hashkocha. It was an os, it was a pela, a wonder. That the Torah wants us, in effect, to be sensitive to other people's sensibilities, be careful. Chas v'shalom, how one speaks about others. And then the Rambam goes on and literally is descriptive. Sham esabka b'lashon hara, someone who speaks lashon hara, mishtaros kiros besa. What happens? First, the walls of his home are going to be affected. Im chazabo yitar habayis. If he does tshuva, so then that will be repaired. Im amna b'rishu achahutat sabayis. However, if the house is going to be undone, because he maintains, he's wallowing in the chet. Mishtanyin kleor shev beisav shuyoshi b'shofer aleihem. It's now going to get closer. First, it begins with the batim, and then it goes to his clothing. Im chazav yitaro. Again, if he does tshuva, so then that will be hopefully ameliorated. Bimama b'rishavache yisarfu mishtanim habegadim shalav. Then his clothing is affected. Im chazav yitaro bimama b'rishavache yisarfu mishtanim. Or he's going to, God forbid, become a Matsura. His physical body is going to be impacted by the Tzaras. Ram said we want basically for him to cease and desist from what Ram calls Sichas or Rishoyim, conversation of people who are wicked. What is that? Leitzonis, scoffing, and Lashon Hara. They are in the Mazi Batorah of Yom HaShem and Venega Tzaras. What is the Torah telling us? This is one of the Sheh Schiros that many people say in the morning. The Torah says, look what happened to Miriam. Shedibra be'achia. She spoke Lashon Hara against her brother. That's the psukim that I mentioned at the end of Bala Yisrael. But to dabir Miriam v'arim b'moshe, alodos ha'isha kushis ha'shelokach, Ki isha kushis lokom. Vayomru harakach v'meshe nirashav ala gamonu nimer. So the Ram goes on to say that here she speaks about her brother, Shari said, Dillan and Mishonim. She was older. Begid lasu al birkeha. She's the one who raised Moshe Rabbeinu. V'sikna ba'atzma la'atzilam al-ayam. All of us remember, she's the one who basically saved Moshe Rabbeinu's life in the wake of the Xerah Paro. This is a famous Rambam. I spoke about this a number of times. She didn't speak Gnai the way many Rishonim understood regarding Moshe Rabbeinu. Ela Tosa, she made a mistake. She shrusled the Shah Nevi'im. She thought Moshe Rabbeinu was in the same level as the Nevi'im, and that's not so. That's what the Torah articulates, the idea that Pel Pe Adam Ebo, Marev Elo V'chidos, is Menas Hashem Yabit, Umadua Lo Yerisem L'daber Be'avdi Ben Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is sweet, generous. It's distinct. His Nevuah is of a completely different nature. That's what the Torah legislates. Then the Balos for that idea. Who though was not knocked the apple became the nature of its aras. Kalbochem of the other was showing my tipship. Says the Rambam, Kalbochem to regular people, not of the Madrega of Miriam, that they are foolish. Shemar the Dabek does their flaws. They just, their tongues wag. The figure of Roy, the Mishirotz, the Chaim, and Achosav, one wants to be careful regarding his behavior. The Yisrachim, Yishivasam, one should distance oneself from such people. So one should not become ensnared, entangled by these Baal and Lashon Hara. The Rambam even gives you the approach. What's the approach? Says the Rambam, this is what they do. First, they just speak words of foolishness. And now they're going to, unfortunately, deteriorate to the point where they speak against great tzaddikim. And then we go to the next step. We're going down and down. They'll speak against Rahman Litzlan, Nevi'i Yisrael, the prophets. Will say, they won't subscribe. They won't give credibility to Nevi'im. Kinyan Shenemar, Bayu Maligin, the Malachi Elokim, who both in Dvorim, Satim and Nevi'il, and we talk about Boyan the Dabi Elokim, and Rahman and Son, of course, it can lead to a point where, God forbid, a person speaks against Hashem, the Kofir Ba'ikah. He becomes a Kofir. In Shenemar, called Sukim, and therefore the Rambam, in effect, is telling you that there's a slippery slide over here, a slippery slope, that a person is going down, 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 and begins with Lashon Hara. And God forbid it could lead to Kfira against Hashem. And then on the line section at the end, Avasichas Ksher Yisrael, Ein Elab Diretari B'chochm. This is a very favorite thesis of the Rambam. He says it many, many times, that a Jew should only speak in one of two areas. Either Divrei Torah, that's the ideal, or Divrei Chochma. Divrei Chochma, of course, can include any of a number of ayins, namely, practical things that you have to interact with people in your life. But beyond that, Divrei Chochma, name things of clearly that will contribute to the world at large. And the Figur HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rambam goes on to say that such individuals will be zocheh, in effect, to very high madrega. So basically, what does the Rambam say? That the Rambam said there are three stages. Let's just summarize the language of the Rambam. Stage number one, what the Rambam calls people who just constantly talk. They're indulging in nonsensical words that are meaningless. And then from there, it deteriorates to they're speaking against Sadiqim, against Gedolei Yisrael, they speak about them shamefully, and then against the Nevi'im, they cast doubts, they cast aspersions on the words of the Nevi'im, and finally talking against Hashem and Chas V'Shalom, even leading to Kofir Ba'ikar. So which is the characteristic, or which is the most central element that's found in the Rambam in these three stages? It would seem the second stage. Because when the Rambam speaks about the wicked speaking against tzaddikim, we're on the threshold of Lashon Hara. Of course, tzaddikim can refer to anyone who receives these darts of slander. What's important to know is that the stage preceding this one is the cause of the whole process. And the stage following is the ultimate result. There are three stages. The initial Lashon Hara, and the consequence of that Lashon Hara against tzaddikim, against the Nevi'im, and then Rahman Lassan, the end of this process, which is Kfir Va'ikar. And that was basically slander, Lashon Hara, is caused by something, and that slander leads to something. And what you have here is the cause, the effect, and the result. Those are the three stages that the Rambam speaks about. But again, the first stage, as I mentioned, is the stage which is the cause. The second stage is the actual Lashon Hara. And the third stage is the result, which is catastrophic, Kfir Va'ikar. And essentially, we can explain this in very simple psychological terms. How does Lashon Hara begin? So the Chafetz Chaim in the Shmiras HaLashon, Ba'arichus, writes about this and includes as well almost a psychological examination, evaluation of people who speak Lashon Hara. It begins with what one could call self-deprecation. I assume that all of us are aware the most important thing in chinuch of young children and even people who are a bit older is to develop their self-esteem. We have to cultivate the self-esteem of every single Jew. Young men, young women, doesn't make a difference. Adults, men, women, children, we have to find the nekuda of self-esteem of every single individual. And every single individual has that nekuda. And generally speaking, they have it in ways that are really remarkable, sometimes even not necessarily appreciated by them themselves. But that is milsa d'pshita. Everyone has a tafkid, as Solis used to call, doctor and assignment, in his fancy kind of terminology. Everyone has an assignment. That's exactly what we just recently had in Purim. And Mordechai tells Esther, Umi yodea, im le'ez kazos, higat namalchus. Clearly Hashem put you there for a reason. Spectacular that she becomes the queen, something which is so unlikely and so highly improbable as to border on the miraculous. But it was all done by Hashgacha Pratis, unquestionably, that she should be in a position to save Tal Yisrael. So everyone has a particular function. If someone loses faith in their own self-esteem, so often how do people build up their own self-esteem? By striking out at others. That's how the Chafetz Chaim writes. And again, if I see nothing good, no value in myself, it becomes highly improbable I'll see good in others. Conversely, my appreciation of the good in others is predicated upon the recognition of good in myself. You have actually Mishnayos like this. There's a famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that we're all familiar with. Ezel mechubad ha-mechabid esabrios. If I mechabid others as I should be, so then there's no question. I will be able then even further, by virtue of the fact that I give honor and respect to others, I recognize their unique, distinctive qualities, then I'll be able to, in effect, develop a self-esteem of my own. I'll recognize my own honor, my own worth, my own axiological qualities. As a matter of fact, I saw in the Chaim Malosha that has a parish on Pirkei Avos that's very beautiful. I actually taught it for a number of years. It's called Ruach Chaim on Pirkei Avos. Nefesh HaChaim is well known. Ruach Chaim is less known. A very remarkable parish on Pirkei Avos. And there he writes over there explaining this Mishnah, that only such an individual can afford to give honor to others. So I'm going to recognize his own self-esteem. If you don't recognize your own self-esteem, your own value, you don't have credibility in yourself, so it's hard for you to go ahead and honor others. If anything, you're going to, Rachman Litzan, slander others. Just as an aside, my entire life, rabbinic life, I've tried to run away from politics. Politics is the art of sheker. Politics is the art of, in order to build yourself up, you often have to, Rachman Al-Sam, put someone else down. I'm not sure you're mechuyev to. I don't think it's mukhrach. But people who are in the world of politics tell me it's impossible not to. That's why I'm not in politics. But I want to enter such an arena where, in order to somehow accentuate yourself, you have to go and Rachman al-Nitzan, undermine and impugn others. That's a terrible midah. It's a midah that should be avoided like the plague. And it's very fascinating. The Torah in Parshas Kedoshim, in Perek Yutes, the Torah has a series of psukim, also very well known. The Rishonim, especially the Ramban on the spot, but even Rashi, you can see this in Rashi as well. When the Torah speaks about the well-known pasuk, the Ahavta L'Racha Kamocha, Ani Hashem, so before that, the Torah tells us that lo sikom lo sitars b'nei amecha, not to take revenge, not to harbor a grudge. Immersed in the sinah shebalev, akosam medaber. It's talking about a grudge that a person has internally. So if you have a grudge against someone, or God forbid you take the kama or the tira, so that right away lo sikom lo sitar, that is something which is completely unconscionable, unacceptable. But rather, one has to strive for v'ahavta l'racha kamocha. And again, if you look at Rashi, Rashi actually distinguishes between the Kima and the Tira. It's a very famous Rashi. It's a Chazal. But if you read Rashi's commentary over there on those Isurim, so you'll come to the Maskana that a person who takes revenge or someone who holds a grudge against someone else betrays a certain weakness that doesn't do anything to elevate his own stature in his own eyes. On the other hand, the person who acts independently, a person who's autonomous, a person who is sovereign in his thinking and also knows that he has obligations and he has a tafkid, a role to carry out. So that shows strength. That shows steadfastness of purpose. Masha Enkein, the other character traits that I just mentioned, be they the Kima, be they the Tira, whether it's revenge or harboring a grudge, obviously that shows a weakness in simply reacting to others. So the Torah says, Yahavta l're'acha kamocha, love your neighbor as yourself. And though to love yourself is a prerequisite to loving your neighbor. First, you have to love yourself. And once a person recognizes his virtues and his qualities and his character traits and his uniqueness and distinctiveness, then a person can also, Be'ez Hashem, have an appreciation of other individuals as well. So the Rambam is describing a group of individuals with no purpose in life. The thrust of their activity is Dibrei Havaya. Words that are nonsense. They're not concerned with Dibrei Torah, not concerned with Dibrei Chochmah. Those are the only two areas that a person should be focused on. And they're wasting their time, squandering, fitting away their time on things that are of no value. And that leads to an immeasurable lowering of one's estimate of oneself. And eventually leads to Lashon Hara, leads to slander. And it's quite understandable that even the element of jealousy of Kinah can creep into that Lashon Hara as well. After all, the tzaddik is concerned with Dibrei Torah and Dibrei Chochmah. He's in the mainstream of life. He's involved in creative activity, productive activity. It follows, therefore, that a person's a rasha must resort to Lashon Hara in order to depreciate the other person's value. Somehow he is built up by literally Rachmana Litzlan engaging in destruction of someone else. That's how the Chafetz Chaim Ba'arichus. He constantly writes about this phenomenon, which is more or less implicit, and there is the Rambam here at the end of Tumas Saras. In other words, it's only a step away from someone who has an inferiority complex to an overemphasized superiority complex to cover up his weaknesses. It's only a step from Lashon Hara against Tzaddikim to an attempt to build yourself up, but not in a meaningful, constructive kind of way, but in an unhealthy, cancerous excess of pride that borders on gaiva. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Sakina, and that's tantamount to setting up before by the Zara. And now the cycle has been completed. That's what the Rambam is describing here. From self-deprecation or self-depreciation, that turns into Lashon Hara, and Lashon Hara turns into by the Zara, and ultimately Chas V'Shalom and Kfir Avedikah. So that's the Rambam's analysis of Lashon Hara. The roots of Lashon Hara and the consequence of Lashon Hara and the ultimate result of Lashon Hara all come about from a lack of self-esteem, from a lack of a realization of my worth, my axiological worth, of the value that I have, of the talents that I have, of the kishronos that Hashem gave me. And that's basically what chinuch is all about. More important, even though I'm not poo-pooing the value of teaching Kabbalat Gemara, or the value of teaching Chumash and Tanakh and Machshava and the like, but even more significant than all the above, is this recognition of who am I? What are my beautiful traits that Hashem has given me? Chazal says, "Shem shepasufei min hamshavim, kach diosei min hamshavos." Just like the physiognomies are different, so too our outlook on life is also different. You will not find two people who are identical, even twins, are often very different one from the other. I know actually a fair number of twins, fraternal, paternal. The only one that sits right in front of me. I don't know his brother as well as he does, but I think they're markedly different. I met their brother many times. And there's no question, in a domain, even though there are many studies, very fascinating psychological studies, that indicate that often twins, even if they're living apart from each other geographically, as you and your brother, they do things of a very similar nature. And that probably has a lot to do with their very inborn qualities that are genetic in nature that they're predisposed to behaving in a similar kind of way. Whatever the case is, now let's go back. And this is what I'm about to suggest now is essentially what I heard from my Rebbe, Agnino Tzidok Kanatovsky Zatzal. He was a Talmud Mulach of Rav Soloveitchik, Zatzal de Bracha. I mentioned about him a number of times already that when Rav Soloveitchik was probably during the most formidable years of his being Rosh Hashiva, Magid Shir, so that's when Rav Kanatovsky got to him. And the Kanatovsky told me that the Rav used to wake him up. He was in the dormitory, Arisal Chanan. The Rav woke him up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning because the Rav had a shtickle terror in the Rambam that he wanted to share with someone. And he became the, pardon the expression, the carbon for our Soloveitchik's discussion. And they used to walk around the banks of the river over there in Washington Heights. This happened countless times by Rebbe Tolman. So I wanted such a thing to happen to myself as well, but lo zachiti. I never was zochet to that level. But this Rebbe had a massive hashpah in my life. He actually made Aliyah in 1971. He was in love with Eretz Yisrael. I asked him, where did that love come from? You know what he told me? About you. From learning the Ramban al Torah. That's where the love of Eretz Yisrael came from. Ramban al Torah is certainly in love with Eretz Yisrael. Ain't shum zochet. Afti dekach with Ramban's position, kayadu alachem. That the Iku Kima Mitzvahs is not going to sell. We're not talking about Shmias. We're not talking about Tumas of Isis. We're talking about all Mitzvahs, even Mitzvahs that are Chomes Aguf. When the Ramban, the primary venue for the performance of those Mitzvahs is Eretz Yisrael. It's a penalty of Ramban. Ramban is clearly in love with Eretz Yisrael in terms of the Ashkocha of Hashem and Eretz Yisrael. By the way, this Taras, if you take a look, for example, look at the Ramban on top of the page where I get to the punchline. I'm on the top of the page, on page 2. He's talking about Nigyat Godin. Zay Neno B'Teva Klal V'Lo Olam. This is clearly borders on the miraculous. It's not natural. L'chein Nigyat Habatim Avobiyos Yisrael Shlein L'Hashem. But we are on the highest Madrega. Yia Ruach Hashem Aleim Tomid. So then the Shechina is literally resting on us, hovering over us. Everything is going to be ideal. Our clothing, our bodies, our homes. No, this is the greatest act of Ashkocha are these different genres of Taras, indicating the moment it happens, Hashem saw me alone. Clearly, I've gone awry. I've gone astray, and this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Simen telling me that do some introspection, find out what happened, take the moral flashlight and search inwardly to see exactly what went awry. And then Ramban goes on, the line number 5, such a hashgacha can only take place in Eretz Yisrael. Not even in Teaneck, New Jersey, or in Queens, or even in Johannesburg. Only in Eretz Yisrael is this kind of Ashkocha palpable. And the reason is because of the nature of Eretz Yisrael. And he writes, Ve'en ha'dovim ne'heyoso chobos karka. Alvim ne'shaloyom ha'inyon ahu yalom eretz ha'min teres. Asher Hashem anich bot shaykhum esoycha. This can only take place in Eretz Yisrael. But the Ashkocha is so remarkable. I want to, if you don't mind, go even a step further. A personality that was just niftar of the monumental caliber of Agoyin HaTzadik, of Chaim Kadevsky Zatzal, could only grow in Eretz Yisrael. Not possible in Chutz La'aretz that such a personality could emerge. Now, it's true, there were Gedolei Yisrael in Europe generations ago, but that was a different zeitgeist, a different milieu, a different period of time, but Bismaneinu Anu, only Eretz Yisrael can produce such a Torah personality of this stature. I don't think it's possible anywhere else. Not that there weren't Torah personalities in Chutz La'aretz. There were, but not the same extent as in Eretz Yisrael. And that hakara, that realization comes from But the Gemara says, "Balbasa v'ira d'arsel machkin the kushim eretz Yisrael." The set of values that exist here that are markedly different from the chutz. Okay, that's got now back to the original question that we asked, which was, why does the Torah, when it speaks about three karbanos, three different lashonos? So my Rebbe, I'm going outside to grab Katovsky's outside. One of my children is named after him, Tzvidov. That was often here in the shul. So my Rebbe suggested the following. When you look at the three karbanos the Torah mentions here, going back to page one, you have the Osham and the Chatos and the Olam. The Osham is more demanding than the Chatos. And the Osham is offered as a kapara for the ultimate result, which is essentially Rahman with San Kfira. The Rambam says it could lead to the Kofir Mashem, denying God, denying the existence of God, which follows according to the Rambam. It's the third stage upon the heels of Lashon Hara. And that's the reason why, what does the last pasuk say? The Torah says, the language of the pasuk is, I'm sorry, the first pasuk. The Chibra Olam HaKohen, the Bnei Hashem. That language, the Bnei Hashem, indicates what? That there's a chet, a transgression against Hashem. That requires atonement. That requires major kapara. We're talking about, as I said, the ultimate chet, which is kfir of Hashem. And then the Torah goes on. I'm reading again, very beginning. Vasa akoyen sachatas, the chiper mitahir mitumaso. Translated, the kohen brings the chatas, and the kapara is for the mitahir, for the person who's purifying himself from his impurity. And as the chatas is the karma that's intended to the express transgression of Lashon Hara. And that's why, what does the Torah say? Al ha-mitahir, the person who is in need of kapara, who needs tara, he's now going to achieve tara. And also, we're talking about the chet, which is the center of the entire drama, the chet of Lashon Hara. And now, we approach the most significant element of the process of tara. If the entire process is going to make any sense at all, and if the process will be a prophylactic measure, a preventive from, once again, recurrence, from recidivism, then the problem has to be attacked at the root. We have to attack the shorish of the problem. What is the root of Lashon Hara? The self-image that the person has of himself. The lack of self-esteem that I mentioned earlier. And that's why it's not necessary to build up the individual, to teach him his own worth, to teach him his own erech, his own value, to give him stature, to give him purpose in life. And that's the third carbon, the Olah, that the Torah says, the Chiper Olah of HaKoyi Betoya. How meduyok is the Lashon of the Torah? The first time the Bnei Hashem is the ultimate consequence of this chet. The second time is directed to Lashon Hara. The one who unfortunately erred and was led astray has to be tar, has to undergo process of tara. But ultimately, even after we've addressed these two, we have to primarily address what is the root cause. The root cause is in him, in the individual, his lack of self-esteem, his lack of believing in himself. And therefore, that third carbon, the Olah, is designed to impress the Metzora with the possibility he can come close to Hashem. He can come close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He can give meaning to his life. He can give purpose to his life. Because he's elevated unto Hashem. And that makes Lashon Hara totally unnecessary and perhaps even impossible. And that's what the Torah now says over here at the end. The Chibur Olam HaKohen V'Toher, that now the individual himself has underwent a process of Tara. So in fact, we have three stages, and each of the kavanos is designed to address one particular stage. And therefore, the lashonos in each karban, the lashonos are incredibly meduyak, almost beyond belief.
Maybe it's the Olah Dafka is the one that changes him, because the Olah is burned.
Completely in this way. Excellent. 100%. You're saying it's very, very beautiful. So here we have, in the context of Metzaras, a primer that the Torah has presented on Lashon Hara. Chazal tell us that Ruban Begezel, most people in one form or another, violate gezel. Miyutan barayas, a small minority are over on behavior which is of a sexually promiscuous, immoral nature. V'kulan ba'avak lashon hara. That's lashon hara. All of us are guilty. Even if it's not lashon hara directly, avak lashon hara. I'm not here to say a shi right now on avak lashon hara. But lashon hara is certainly an area that all of us have to be cognizant of and try our best to improve. Many, many years ago, I've been assigned with this. When I grew up in the Bronx, which is a borough, probably mentioned enough times that I don't know if you're familiar with it yet, but maybe Rabbanie and Alan, maybe Yehuda, I don't know if you're familiar with it, probably not, but Rabbi Feinberg Shlita. So on Sukkis, no one had a Sukkah. I don't know if you remember Rabbanie, such a, probably you remember as well as I do, very few people had Sukkis. Very few people had the love of their Sukkim. We had a shul with 500 people, a young Israel. Three lulav and esrogim. The rav had a lulav and esrogim, and there were two for the rest of the shul. Before Hallel, there was a major intermission. Everyone went to shake the lulav and esrogim. It was an hour and 15 minutes. I don't think I'm exaggerating. And then I was a little kid. What is going on here? They were not available. I don't know. Johannesburg, they had the lulav and esrogim. Also not. So your generation, Yehuda, you're a young man. Your generation is spoiled in a good way. Baruch Hashem. Rabbi Feinberg, your generation is spoiled in a good way. Anyway, why am I saying this? Because my father felt we have to build a sukkah. Why in heaven's name he felt we had to build a sukkah? It was not possible. We lived in an apartment building. How do you build a sukkah in an apartment building? So the answer is you schlep all the food, pots and pans of the shul sukkah. Every meal, I buy you. That's where I come from. So I'm not speaking about my brothers, they're all tzaddikim. I'm a middle child. Middle child syndrome means you're rebellious. That's the nature of what middle children are all about. I don't know if it's a chiyuv to be rebellious, but it's the nature of a middle child syndrome that I've read about in psychological terms. I thought we were potter. On the Svachmana Patre, to walk several blocks carrying pots and pans in the street to a shul, for every meal of Yom Tov, Rabbi Feinberg, we don't have to eat bread. We can be potter and asoka, eat everything else except for bread and chametz aminim. My father and my mother did not think so. And they never went to yeshiva, they had their lives. So that's what I grew up under. So why am I telling you this story? There were a few other rabbanim who used to come to the sukkah and eat in the sukkah. And some other balabatim, Baruch Hashem, there were still some fine balabatim then as well. Today, Baruch Hashem, the numbers of wonderful balabatim have quadruple, ken yirbu. Most of them are in the shul. Many of them are in the shul, Baruch Hashem. And in other shuls as well. But often balabatim, when they came to the sukkah, so what do they talk about? Lashon hara. I remember as a kid, my father was shown, could not handle it. He would start screaming at them, the balabatim. So I didn't have an appreciation that time. I was very, very young. We started going to a sukkah. We were about 5 years old. My father took us to shul, the age of 4 and 5. He thought we were chayv and tilim and tzibur. But what do you say? All you, 4 and 5. Not just Shabbos morning. Shachris mitzvah morning. What do you call that? Tzar b'alechayim.
Good training.
Good training, Alan says. Okay, in his kindness, our spouse calls it good training. So there was lashon hara, and I remember my father simply could not handle it. He told these people, if you're going to come to the sukkah and say, lashon hara, leave. We don't want you here. My father didn't want to hear divrei Torah. So that's how I grew up, as a little kid, remembering this. And we have to be very careful about Lashon Hara. Try our best not to speak it. Try our best to speak the Torah v'Chochma. Try our best to speak well about people. Even that you have to be careful. The Gemara said, "All my Yisapar Adam, Shimcha Shel Chavera, Shemitah Shimcha Rola Dei Nusa." Tzayin talks a lot about that klal. So one has to somehow try to develop a sense of balance and fair play, and certainly speak about Klal Yisrael in a very positive kind of way. Halavai, as the Rambam says, Sichas Kshere Yisrael, if we do that, the Moshe will give us tremendous Yatta Nishmaya. Oz Nidro Yir Hashem Yishor Eyo, the Yakshem Hashem Yishma, and Kosev, the Sefer Zikar, the Fano, the Yir Hashem, and the Chesh Vishmo. Alavai, we should be Zochit to this kind of Madrega, and Yitz Hashem, and that's how we're Zochit, and maybe others.